The University Tower chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Professor Joe Abbasid.
How are you?
I'm sorry. I'm well. Thank you for asking. That everybody was sort of making fun of you dressing down today, or at least noticing that, because you're such a sharp dresser.
You've gone through all your hundreds of ties.
Yes. Not everyone.
Not everybody. But did I hear correctly, you don't repeat a tie once in the same term?
If I just teach Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I were to teach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
You'd be living it.
It'd be very close. You'd have to ask the students to forget.
It'd be
early
hard.
Early on in the semester. But today I blended in as a student. So.
Nice. Yeah, that actually is, while you still can, you might as well. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. Enjoying this spring weather in Metro Detroit, it's also Professor Dan Maggio.
I'm Matt.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello.
Busily social media-ing. He's got to stay in touch with his peeps. What can I say?
The peep at the other end of the table.
Oh, yeah. Did you find me?
Yes, I did.
Oh, excellent.
And
excellent.
I found your post.
We had a little earthquake. It's actually from Canada last night, if I remember.
Oh,
correctly.
Those Canadian earthquakes. They're deadly.
That's why they were kinder, gentler earthquakes. Friendly earthquake.
Yeah, friendlier.
And they
friendlier.
Come with more donut holes, too.
We're just too busy fracking over there.
That's an earthquake, eh?
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. did anybody in the room feel the earthquake?
No.
Place?
No.
It looks like it was a downriver
phenomenon.
You know what
time it was?
About just the same.
About 8 o'clock.
It was 8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
No,
really?
Yeah.
A similar time to the meteor a few weeks.
In my house.
Mm. Strange weather.
Maybe it's some sort of magnetic attraction to earthquakes and meteors.
Oh,
do you see that
gosh.
Article about the diamonds that they're finding in pieces of meteor in the desert?
Really?
Diane should get out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, she'll be out looking for tanzanite in the because there's only one mine left, remember, in the world.
She'll be out there looking for Johnny Mattress, too.
Musical accompaniment for her desert digs.
Professor Prasad Venugopal is here, and did you notice anybody in your home acting strangely after the meteor or earthquake? That is my question.
How would you tell?
There's always somebody in my house acting strangely before and after the meteor or any earthquake or anything, and
so,
during.
Causation,
let me just tell you,
correlation.
Living in a 1926 house with an 8-year-old daughter who loves to jump up and down, is extremely active, all earthquake signs are going to be washed out. Never going to feel an earthquake. I would never know the difference between my daughter and an earthquake.
Good point. Absolutely hilarious. Since I have one of those with three sons, the first two never had an inclination to jump down the stairs, climb to the back of the couch, and do like, oh, man, the third one, he is into it.
Somersaults.
That's all he likes to do. Oh, my gosh, three steps? I'm going to the top of this and jumping off right now. Like, it's just it's a default setting.
So when you were kids,
my gosh.
In my house, my two brothers and me, so we had a set of stairs, but we would always put like pillows at the bottom and jump from the top.
Okay.
I mean, which is really dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Stupid, but that's what kids do.
We survived.
So your kid's not. So you have one kid that wants to do that?
He wants to do that all the time. He hasn't figured out the whole
flat
service.
Well, apparently he can find the expert in Dan.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
We blame him.
Dan yeah, since
I'll
you don't, you guys don't live that far away from me.
What's going on here? Isn't that funny?
There's a hospital close to.
Yeah, there you go.
For me, not the kids. Oh.
Continuing the circuit around the table, Professor, what's your name again?
I don't know.
Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thanks for coming.
I wouldn't miss
Thanks
it.
For doodling.
Somebody's got to do it, I guess. So.
That's right. Any moving forward on like dead files or anything new coming
our
way?
No, not yet. Okay. I just got interviewed by the Free Press this morning, so.
Cool. About dead files?
No, about billboards downtown.
Oh, okay. So, this is your expertise.
I guess.
Very
they were
cool.
desperate to find somebody to have an opinion, so I'm in. So
about painting the new one? You mean the new ones?
No, about there's an ordinance about not having billboards downtown. That's been on the books for years, and they asked my opinion about
that. That's right. Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. When last we were together, we were cleaning up some questions from Professor Jason Roach.
The answer is meconium.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, interesting. Considering all three of my sons were birthed in this fashion, what percentage of births in the U.S. are cesarean?
8%.
It's quite a bit higher.
24%.
I'd go to about 30.
Higher than 24.
33%. It's about a third.
It's 30. 30%, which is right there. What? Yep.
So absolutely. You watch Call the Midwife?
Yeah.
I've seen it before. It's British humor,
right? That's a good show.
Yeah, that's a good show. Would you have a different appreciation for birthing when you watch that show? And there, I think most of the babies seem on the TV show, which I'm assuming is close to reality, they're being delivered at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
In 5 minutes with no pain.
That's right.
It's amazing how that happens.
Well, yes. It's amazing how fast the labors are, too.
Yikes. I hear my wife, with our oldest kid, almost 15 years old now, I remember Leslie went through 80 hours of labor
to birth him.
So 2.5 weeks overdue. So that was pretty brutal.
That's when you put on the sumo suit and just go at it.
Yeah, that's basically it.
What is the easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not the one birthing. So.
Yeah.
What is the average birth weight for a newborn in the United States in pounds and ounces?
5 pounds.
7 pounds.
8 ounces.
It's 7 pounds, 7.5 ounces.
Really?
It's like spot on.
I knew it was somewhere in the 7 range.
We had a conversation about this in class today. Who is the fattest baby? That's all.
So oh. We had one of my students win a prize?
No, actually, the smallest gal in class was a 12-pound baby.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
The smallest?
Smallest gal in class.
Wow.
She said her brothers who were taller than her were like 7 pounds.
Wait, all the students in your class weighed at least 12 pounds of
birth. No. She was the heaviest.
The within her family.
The fact that she was the smallest person in the class.
Did weigh 12 pounds.
Well, it came out sort of ambiguous.
Yes, it did sound.
You have a pretty unusual class.
You thought the smallest number was 12
pounds. Yes. No.
I can't let a baby birth weight question go by without bringing up a fond memory of our previous host, Professor Kathy Bush, who saw that I converted all of Joseph, my oldest son's, birth stats into metric, because, of course, that's the way they were given to us. And she referred to him as the metric Mayo for a long time, just because she's like, that's the way we do it in Canada. I'm like, that's the way all medicine does it. They're like, hold on, I got to go find how to convert kilograms to pounds.
No, actually, my birth certificate said pounds and ounces.
Really?
Yeah. Mine
are you
too.
Sure you were
positive?
Born in Canada?
Last I know.
Okay.
You guys do know.
I was close to average. I was 7'9".
7'9". Yeah. There you go.
You guys do know the person that delivered me is actually a Wayne State graduate.
Really?
Yeah, he showed up in Medicine Hat.
All
places.
Wow.
And where?
He showed up in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Medicine Hat, Alberta.
What the heck?
Incredible. And here's the way I found out. I went to a wedding up in Saginaw. Sat at a table with a bunch of doctors, older doctors than I, and one of the doctors asked me, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from Medicine Hat. And one of the guys said, my college roommate ended up in Medicine Hat. And
I
think it's because with that Telstar satellite, you could get all the Detroit TV stations.
Yeah, that's why. Channel 56 and 4.
So. Yeah.
All you needed was 56 and 20. Mm-hmm. According to a recent survey of law enforcement professionals, what percentage of U.S. parents make mistakes installing their child car seats?
Like 60, 70%.
65%.
82%.
What did you say, Joe?
90%.
It's 95%.
Wow.
95%. Yikes. All I know is I visited a friend in Minnesota a few years ago, and it was a big snowstorm. And we got into the car, two kids, young boy, young girl. Do not start the car. Boy and girl, take off their coats and then get into the car seat and get everything nice and snug. And every time we got in or out of the car, they unbuckled, put their coat back on, and then got out of the car because
the
seats are not made to be wearing a coat at the same time. As a matter of fact,
it still seems a little anal retentive.
It's a little anal retentive, but interesting. Last but most certainly not least, thanks for the questions, Jason Roach. According to a 2018 survey of Detroit Mercy professors, who has the cutest baby boy in the universe?
Do you know, I was not polled.
I was not polled either.
I don't remember.
It says, coincidentally, the two professors who were polled wrote this survey.
Who were also married.
One in the liberal arts and one in health professions.
In nursing, yeah.
And it was unanimous, right? It was unanimous.
Professor Jason and Maggie Roach agree that they're, and it's slipping my mind, the name of their newborn son is?
Seth.
Seth Roach is the cutest baby boy in the whole universe. So thank you for that.
No dangling chads on that one.
No dangling chads at all.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. On location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. All right. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure, sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Hmm. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win
or,
it at games, too.
And you can do that. You can do that. Oh, we're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and quality points in there. It's unbelievable. Oh. It's unbelievable that you can come out of there with 32 hours at B level.
You're kidding. Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin the wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies.
Okay, we got a set of some random questions that are going to be kind of fun, sent in by everybody's favorite anonymous here. Let's see what we can do with these. We're all familiar with Pez candy and Pez candy dispensers. But where does the word Pez come from?
Some of us
from?
A little bit less peppermint. Than others since we didn't
It stands for peppermint, but it's from, what, Denmark?
No, it's German. It comes from the word peppermint, which is pfeffermins.
Yes.
P-E-Z.
Pfeffermins,
right there.
Yes,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Where was Pez candy originally manufactured? Okay, it was close to Germany. I was close. It was close to Germany, but not in Germany.
Austria.
Belgium. Austria is what Austria. It says. This man knows his candy.
Yeah. Mm.
Pez candy was originally manufactured in Austria, and the candy was sold in tins of a round shape called Pez drops. In what year did Pez come into being?
1949.
52, I'm almost there. It's 1949.
That's what I said.
Did you say that?
I said exactly 1949. It's on the tape.
Well, roll it back.
On the ocean. 1949.
Well, okay, where did
it... I said it too.
All right.
Where's the smoking gun when we need it?
Where did it drop? Where was the introduction made?
On the floor?
In Austria.
Oh.
Okay. Where in Austria?
In Linz. They were trying to get over Adolf Hitler being born there.
No. It was at the Vienna Trade Fair.
I should have known that.
We were there.
Sure, wearing your buttons.
Right next to the opera house, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. Oh, my gosh. When did Pez offer the first, so what year, first dispenser with a three-dimensional head on it?
63.
82.
72.
59.
You guys. 1957.
57.
But what was the head?
Donald Duck.
It was not Donald Duck. That's
Mickey
a good guess, though.
Was a it dog. Mickey Mouse? A cat.
Bugs Bunny.
A mule.
Was it Father a, Christmas.
Was it a person or was it an animal?
It was anthropomorphic.
It wasn't Hitler.
It was not.
Felix the Cat.
It was a Halloween witch is what
it was. Oh, we would have gone a long time before we got that one.
Those lousy professions.
Jim, you sound so upset about it.
From a materialist conception of history, that is not anthropomorphic. That is a human being.
It's a human being?
Yeah. From a materialist conception. A witch.
A stereotypical Halloween witch is a person?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what I'm claiming.
Everybody is familiar with the size and shape of a regular Pez?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How many Pez candy pieces are consumed annually in the United States? How many pieces?
1.2 billion.
It's more than 1.2 billion.
8 billion.
It's less than 8.
6 billion.
4 billion.
3.4 billion.
3 billion.
Mm. Wow. I win.
We were accepting closest without going over.
Plus or minus.
Like Drew Carey? Oh,
exactly.
I was just going to say plus or minus half a billion.
The price is right.
Oh, my gosh. I guess we're switching gears here. Where is the largest collection of comic books held with over 100,000 individual issues preserved?
Michigan State's got it large.
It's not in the Mormon archives.
Stan Lee's house.
Mountain, is it?
No, it's none of those things.
I know Nicolas Cage's got a large collection of Superman.
Okay.
Is there a like
heritage auctions
comic book museum somewhere, or
you could call archives. This one? Apparently, it's the largest archive ever.
California,
Toledo, it is not Columbus. In California. I'm trying to remember.
It's out east,
New York,
New York
Hartford.
City.
It's not Hartford or New York City.
Boston,
Vermont.
Wow, comic books
in Maine. There's nothing there.
No, it'll be New Jersey.
Is there a reason why we would know this place, or is it just
yeah,
random?
Yeah, because it's a place where a lot of print media in the history of the United States is held.
The National Archives?
It's the Library of Congress.
DC. Oh,
the Library of Congress is the largest
sure.
comic
yeah,
book
that gets
collection.
We
overlooked
yeah.
the obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry,
I
about
was
that.
In
a
private collection,
including all the
tweets. Auction house.
Yeah, I was present. Thinking private collection.
So you know how in a comic book or a comic strip,
yes.
the symbols that would appear to censor words when characters curse or swear.
Yeah.
They actually have
the
a name. That's right. They're called Grawlixes. Do you remember the other three names?
No.
No.
You thought you were clear on that one.
No,
yeah, I know.
God, I got the Grawlix.
That's cutting you down to size.
I know. I got to work hard.
It's pretty good. They're called Jarns,
okay.
Quimps, Nittles, and Grawlixes. Mm. All together. So very formal.
You want us to recite
name.
That all together?
I just did.
You know.
Put it to music.
Can you use
it
all together?
A dance beat.
Yeah. It was hard enough dealing with the Pez questions without suddenly having weird off
know,
into comic
to,
books.
I know, having to veer off to all uh-huh. those little ampersands.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
Grids
yeah.
and things.
All right, a couple more here from Anonymous. Who's the only Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court who is known to have been born in jail? How's that for a resume?
Wow, what a piece of...
Thurgood Marshall?
No. I'm not familiar with the name, so I'm guessing it's not the modern era. No ideas, huh?
No,
I know Jim knows his American history pretty well.
Roger Taney?
That's
nope.
not what I've. That's not what I've looked up. At
Felix is the one that begins with Felix F.
You know, the initials are FV, if that helps.
Frankie Valli.
Definitely not Frankie Valli. It says here Frederick Vinson is known to have been born in jail.
Huh.
Okay.
And it doesn't tell us why.
It says nothing more.
Okay. All right.
If these questions were written by Kimberly Richard, she would
he
have
He was
included.
Born, and then they just built a jail around him before he moved.
Oh, it's a trick question.
He was a 7-pound baby.
Well, he wouldn't have been born in jail.
Then he wasn't born. Yeah. You know how to get three.
Yes, I do.
Where does the name for the coffee company Starbucks come from?
Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Darn.
You guys don't know this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I thought this was a giveaway.
Not at all.
Wow. Stumped.
Really? Oh, my gosh. I'm palpitating
here. Is it...
Who is named Starbucks in Seattle?
Does that have any relation to Seattle?
It's a very, very famous piece of American literature.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It has a character named Starbucks in it.
Yeah, Heather would know.
Oh, Heather would know this. Oh, yes.
Is it famous Pope?
Something to do with Mark Twain?
No, you know, he was the first mate in Moby Dick on the Pequod.
Starbuck
was his name.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
And last but certainly not least, for our last transition, when Starbucks first publicly traded on the stock market in 1992, how much did a piece of stock cost?
$18.
$17.
Wow.
Today, how much is it worth?
$82.
$280. For one.
Exactly
piece
the same
of
amount
stock.
As a cup of coffee.
Okay, how about this? What U.S. state's inhabitants are known as nutmeggers?
Mississippi?
No.
Nutmeg.
Vermont.
No, but you're in the right corner of
New
the country. Nope.
Maine. New York.
It's Connecticut.
Oh, man.
Connecticut.
It was one of the New England states.
Connecticuters are called nutmeggers, yes. What musical band's groupies are called the Blue Army?
Band.
Oh, Blue Army.
Blue.
The Blue Army. Yeah, they have been around for a long time without bringing up the Rolling Stones, because it's not the Stones.
You
too?
Blue Oyster Cult?
Nope. They are known for being sort of... getting close to elderly, but they continue to perform. Hard rockers.
Kiss.
Kiss is a good guess, but it's not.
Like
Black Sabbath?
Grateful
nope.
Dead?
Judas
AC/DC?
Priest?
No.
Who else is...
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Oh.
Blue
oh.
Army is
the
Aerosmith.
Only one left.
Yes.
Yeah, the only one still alive.
Yeah.
Aerosmith, that's right. How about what U.S. city's inhabitants are known as the Yats?
Spell it, please.
Y-A-T-S. They're called yats.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Actually, I can use
What's
it
the
in
origin
a
of the word? That's what we want to know.
The origin is, it is a very common greeting in this city that literally just in the last 48 hours celebrated its 300th anniversary, that you greet somebody with, where you at?
As Nolans?
In, where are you? It's Nolans. What Canadian city?
Uh-oh.
It's called Hollywood North.
Vancouver, Toronto.
Vancouver is what it's one of the two. Here. Yeah. Lots of movies. Started with The X-Files, right?
Yep, Vancouver. Among other things.
Yeah. What Canadian city is the Slurpee capital of the world?
Ottawa.
It's not Ottawa.
Slurpee capital.
So it's like a Saskatoon.
It's in Manitoba.
Regina.
Winnipeg.
Oh, Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is the Slurpee capital.
Winnipeg is the Slurpee capital.
It's got to be the capital of something.
That's because it's also in the streets, too.
Okay, what U.S. city in the South is called the Firefly capital of the world?
Oh.
Some of your old stomping grounds, Jim.
The Firefly capital of the world.
Raleigh.
Columbia, South Carolina.
No, it's actually in North Carolina. North that narrows Carolina. It down.
Firefly capital?
Asheville?
Yeah.
Raleigh?
Nope. It starts with the letter B. Guessing Boone? Named after a famous. It is Boone. It's Boone, North Carolina.
Daniel Boone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Never heard of.
Never Boone, heard North Daniel Boone.
You don't know what a firefly is?
Daniel Boone. Didn't realize a city was named Boone, North Carolina.
Appalachian State is there.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about a military commander whose nickname was Dugout Doug?
Douglas MacArthur.
It was MacArthur for living in the tunnels during the Japanese invasion of the Philippines.
Cute. Like a mole rat.
Yeah, sort of like that, but not a naked one.
Ew.
NFL football team. I will take the year and the team. They were called the Cardiac Kids with a K.
Oh, Brian Sipe, Cleveland Browns, 1978. 78?
It says 80, the 1980 Browns. Oh I cannot God. Believe you got that. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
If I remember correctly.
You watch a lot of football?
Yes.
I watched
the Cardiac Kids would have been, they always looked like they were going to lose, but then they won. Then so they gave you a heart attack. Yeah.
Exactly. And Brian Sipe was the quarterback, and that's about all that I can remember.
We're impressed that a part of your brain has been dedicated to remembering stuff like that.
I know.
Wow.
It's rotating RAM is what it is. It's rotating.
How about a U.S. city that nicknamed itself the town too tough to die?
Sounds like Detroit.
Yeah.
I was going to try to stop you before you said it. It's not Detroit. It's a little bit closer to Diane Manica than we are Phoenix? To the city right now. Not
Tempe.
Phoenix. No.
Santa Fe.
Just be really literal with that nickname and you're good to go.
It's going to die?
Death Valley?
Getting closer.
Tufton?
Tufton.
Okay, don't be that literal. Okay. it says here that it's Tombstone. Tombstone. The town too tough to die. What NHL hockey player? It's Dave's day.
Oh, criminy.
Was called the Little Beaver.
Ooh.
Initials MD.
Marcel Dion.
Marcel Dion.
Whoa,
is what it
ridiculous.
Says here.
The little fella. The
another
little
part of his brain hard drive. heard from.
Unbelievable.
He does
huh?
well with baseball, too.
Yeah.
I'm a sports geek.
He likes the
television shows. And
it was my babysitter, remember? My parents.
Every television show and every character and their siblings in real life and on the show.
With the year.
With
no,
the year.
No years. I don't do numbers.
Let's go history. What U.S. president was called the Napoleon of the Stump?
Oh, McKinley?
Is that what it says?
Napoleon of the Stump.
Franklin Pierce?
Size?
Franklin Pierce. Good guess. Incorrect. He was a short guy.
Buchanan?
Polk? It was Polk, is what it says here. It was
James
Polk.
A. Polk.
Yes.
But what was the stump thing, I wonder?
Just like a short guy giving speeches.
When they would go out and give a speech, sometimes they'd stand on a stump
that's
to be
I
heard.
Was thinking of a wooden leg.
Yeah.
Hence the expression stump speech.
When you guys say
speech.
That Polk, are you saying the L? Like
Polk.
Polk.
You don't say like poke?
Poke.
Polk.
You say poke, like poke a hole.
Polk.
But they're saying Polk. Like
Polk.
There's an L.
Polk.
There's an L.
Yeah, there's got a slight. You got a slight.
Things are about
L-A.
To get real ugly.
Poke. Poke.
Kendra's like, what's with that L?
It's B-O-L-K. Polk.
We take out L's in the South. You got a hoat of me? I cannot get a hoat of you. Take out your voters, class.
Now, okay, now, is this also true of Michiganders? We add S's to every company?
That's true of a lot of places.
Ford's. Very good.
Kroger's.
I don't see a lot of that southern accent coming out, but it's pretty good.
I have Target. Mm-hmm. That's not really.
How about an American politician whose nickname was The Body?
Oh, the Minnesota governor.
Oh, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura. Yeah. I edited that one. It said wrestler and politician, but I figured there was enough information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesse the Body Ventura.
What U.S. newspaper is sometimes referred to, even in the modern time, as the Gray Lady?
The New York Times.
The New York Times. The editor of which was just quoted today in the media saying that he thinks print journalism has less than 8 years.
Oh, no.
Less than how long?
Eight? Less than 8 years.
Oh,
so
no.
I'll look to Joe for a commentary there. But if the editor of the New York Times is saying that,
that is,
it's like
sad.
Time to...
The Gray Lady is the newspaper of record.
Yeah, that is exactly true. How about a U.S. comedian who used to be nicknamed Mr. Warmth?
Rodney Dangerfield?
No, but that's a great guess.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
I could see the bald Mr.
Warmth. Rodney Dangerfield's tombstone in Westwood Memorial Park in L.A. says... There goes the neighborhood.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Warmth is good enough for me, you know, thinking of how prickly Don Rickles was. Yeah. What U.S. state is nicknamed Variety Vacation Land?
North Carolina.
Yeah, it's North Carolina.
Variety?
The woods again.
Why?
Yeah.
Variety
Vacation Land. Oh, because you get so much. You've got mountains, you've got beaches, you've got all kinds of river activities.
So far you've described California.
Or Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, North Carolina's been around longer.
Yeah. Well, Michigan doesn't really have mountains.
We don't have mountains here.
Hey, that escarpment off of Mount Clemens is pretty deadly. You know what I mean?
Escarpment. What non-U.S. city has been nicknamed Little Paris?
Tokyo?
Buenos Aires?
It's not Buenos Aires. I will Little help Paris? You out by saying it is in Europe.
Milan? Ooh. Is it known for Little Paris because of fashion?
Enzo's jumping on top of this because he was in the GOB a few weeks ago, so you gotta get working on this. But no, it doesn't have a description, I'm afraid. And I know what country it's in. I never would have guessed that this is known as Little Paris. A city, a very famous city that starts with the letter B.
Bucharest
is what it says.
Romania. I have heard that expression before.
Okay. Yeah. Not, of course, the Paris of the Midwest, which, of course, is the fair city of Detroit. How about a U.S. musician whose nickname is the Godfather of Grunge? Of course, this is total...
Cobain?
Not Cobain, because it's very sort of like backwards looking. Before Cobain, there was, you
Neil
know...
Young?
Neil Young is what it says.
Oh, yeah, he is kind of grungy.
Yeah. So I guess it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, dear Lord.
Sometimes that's just the way that it works out. We'll say goodbye. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Venugopal.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Have a glorious... weekend.
Professor Maggio.
Until next year.
Professor Abbasid.
See you soon.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag Ask the Professor UDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.